I was reading these words. There's always a Christian comment, which is normally very interesting. And this last week's comment was around this. So what is the world telling us with its chaos over Brexit, assaults and violence and trafficking of women and girls, overcrowded prisons, confusion over gender identity and values? Simply this. Something is wrong. Out of kilter. Broken. Needing to be fixed. From a Christian perspective, we see mankind as falling and continuing it further down this slippery slide into darkness. God made us and everything around us, the whole of creation, good and perfect. But in choosing to disbelieve him, we turned our backs on him and blew it. So what is the answer? We need to turn around that old-fashioned word repent and start trusting God again and doing what he says we should. That's why Jesus came, to open the way back to God. I was also thinking, as we get to this morning, as we've read the final chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and when you try and put yourselves in the shoes, if one can, of the Apostle Paul and what some of those early Christians lived through, there's one five-letter word for me that is the hallmark, the foundation of everything that Jesus and God meant to them. And that five-letter word is trust. And so many people today will be thinking about trust, trusting in world leaders, that the horrific events that many are remembering this morning may not be repeated again. For the early Christians in that first century, during that woeful and awful time of persecution, they were so sure that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, they trusted in that absolutely implicitly, and as such were able to find strength during some terrible and dark times. So I thought we might just take this word trust and think about it. So I'm going to take each letter and I'm going to draw a word from that letter, in the hope that tomorrow morning, now I know I've already challenged you that when you wake up tomorrow you've got to think about the three P's, okay? So now I'm going to give you a really big challenge, because by Tuesday I'd like you still, if you can, to remember what my trust word stands for in terms of the five words. So see if we can do that, because it might be really helpful, hopefully. So my first letter of trust is the letter T. So T for me is about being together, as we are this morning. And if we go right back to the start of Acts, and Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read from the New International Version this morning, and verse 42. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the disciples. All the believers were together. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So in this very short section of scripture, my first word for building trust, my letter T, is the word together. Here is a very strong scriptural principle around building trust. It's not something that you do on your own. It's something that we do together. We do it in this room, all of us this morning, together, and we do it with the Lord Jesus Christ and with our Heavenly Father. I'm going to turn up quite a few passages of Scripture this morning. So if we go now to Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 24. I'm going to start actually at verse 22 because it's such a wonderful phrase. Let us draw near to God, which is exactly what we're doing. And I could put the word together in there, but it's not there. So let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So can you see, even in this short passage of time, from when we just read those verses from Acts, there's a problem occurred. Because if it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, he writes, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So in building our foundation of trust in the Lord Jesus and in the Lord God, my first T is together, yet within a short space of time here, there's a problem arisen. Because the trust is already going to start to falter if we give up meeting together. So my letter T then stands for together. My second letter in trust, the R, stands for a wonderful word. It's something that every day of our lives that we can hold on to. And we are so privileged and blessed. Because my letter R stands for relationship. We in this room, through what has been done for us, can have a relationship with the risen Lord. That is amazing. Not only that, we can have a relationship with his Father, the Lord God. That is awesome. What a way to build trust. So now we're together around this table building our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father. And as an aside, it does worry me slightly. I hear quite a lot of chitter chatter and sometimes people talking about the only thing that matters is the relationship we have with Jesus and with the Lord God. I actually don't think that's right. Of course it matters, but it's not the only thing, because the instruction and the command is that we do this together so that we can strengthen each other. It's quite hard if you're on your own to find and build trust, because trust involves people. So for my relationship quotation, I'm going to go to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Only because it really focuses our mind on what Jesus actually wants. And it's the most amazing promise that he makes. So here we go, you know these words really well. So it's not very difficult, verse 12. Very simple to understand. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now here's the relationship piece. You, in Exeter, November the 12th, you are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. So the amazing thing is that Jesus says, I'm going to be your friend. All of you people in this room, like November the 12th, 2017. This is the R in our trust. So this is how we are developing now the trust we can have in Jesus and in the Lord God. So our T is for together. I'm going to keep piecing it, so on Tuesday when you wake up you can try. What was the R stand for? Okay, so the R is for relationship. Everybody with me so far? Some knots. Okay. So, and my you, if this is a more interactive session, I'd ask you to guess, but I won't. So my you is actually comes from a proverb, and it's Proverbs 3 and verse 5. So my U is actually for understanding. Understanding. So we spent a bit of time this morning talking about a man who definitely wouldn't be described as humble. This is Donald Trump, or indeed probably wanting to rely on the understanding of anybody else, I guess. Might be fair, I don't know. But here's a message in the proverb. Beautiful verse. It starts off in verse 5, guess what, with the word trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Like all these proverbs, they're just so rich in what we can learn from them. But the point that I want to make from this particular one is, here we are, the word trust. So we're together, we're building our relationship, and now we have to accept that some humility are required. Because actually God is saying, you know what, your understanding is pretty limited. It's pretty limited. But I'm going to do a great thing for you. I'm going to give you understanding. Wow, that's amazing. So not only can we be together in a relationship with the Lord God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's actually going to help us to understand how this all works. It's incredible. We're so privileged. And how it all works is, of course, in that wonderful word that was in our reading from Acts chapter 28. And towards the end of that chapter, for my letter S, is the word salvation. And this is the understanding that we have got from the Lord God. So Paul, it's almost the end of everything, really, isn't it? If you're going to start trying to sum up in a few words, so what was Paul actually trying to do? And the disciples, what was it? And here it is in this one wonderful word. Therefore, verse 28, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to Exeter and they will listen. Isn't that amazing? Of course he didn't say Exeter, he just said, therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. So our word trust, we're together in a relationship, we can ask for understanding, and the understanding comes from salvation, from knowing about the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what the early apostles were doing. We probably can't remember, but a few weeks ago we read Acts chapter 4. And this is exactly what they talked about. Acts chapter 4. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. And here it is, the keystone message that throughout the Acts of the Apostles is mentioned time after time after time. Every time Paul had to get up and defend himself, he put his trust in this statement. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead, that this man standing before you is healed. This is the trust. It's throughout the whole of the Acts, we've been reading it, all of these times that Paul stood up before Agrippa or Festus or whoever it was. They talked all the time about the risen Christ. That's what we're remembering today. And that's where the trust of what they were doing had its foundation. So then, my final letter in the word trust. We've got together, we've got a relationship, we've got understanding, we've got salvation. And my final T is the word travel. There was a wonderful phrase that a brother at Maidenhead used 3 or 4 years ago, and it really resonated with me. He said, you know what? We're kingdom walkers. That's what we are. And he was right. We are in this room together, kingdom walkers. We are walking towards God's kingdom every day of our lives. That's what we're doing. So when we leave this place, we're walking. But we're walking with a destination in mind because we trust in the Lord and we have the understanding. I used to do a lot of commuting, which thankfully I don't have to do anymore. And one of the joys of that was sort of standing at railway stations, endlessly looking back down the track, wondering if a train was actually ever going to turn up, because by this stage in your life you realise that all these boards and things are a kind of helpful guide that a train might come along at some stage. It doesn't actually mean it's going to arrive. And it's quite easy to stand there and you just look back all the time. You're looking back down the track to see if the train's ever going to come. And it's quite a bad mindset to get into, because you can easily find you then spend a lot of time reflecting and looking backwards. I came to the conclusion, actually, looking backwards is not a great thing to do too much. I mean, we look back to what's been done for us, which is a perfectly right thing to do. Sometimes we need to look forward. That's why we're kingdom walkers. And I found these verses in Philippians that really say it much better than I could, and they're in chapter 3. So I'll read them to you. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, I strain to what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So here's Paul saying, I keep looking forward. I know I've made lots of mistakes. Guess what? Jesus died for me. But he's risen. And I'm looking forward now to that moment when he's going to return. So this whole theme that I'm trying to share with you this morning is beautifully summed up for me in a psalm. Which may not surprise you. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Remember Jesus' command? He asked us to do one thing, love one another. That's why we have to be together. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy the safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. We sang that this morning. And wait patiently for him. And we talked about the waiting and the watching and how we might do that. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And we could read the rest of the psalm. It brings together all of these wonderful thoughts that we've been sharing together around this word, trust. So if I was to put up on the screen here the word trust, and I was to ask you to find two other words that are in trust, you'd probably find them quite quickly. Because in the word trust is the word rust. So what, you might say? Of course, the rust is what happens if we don't put our trust in the Lord Jesus and his Father. So let me show you what I mean. Come to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. So even in this wonderful word of trust, there's a warning for us. This is Jesus talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about, actually, where do you put your trust? That's what this is about, really. So verse 19, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, it's like when you buy a new car. I'm as guilty of this as anybody else, I'm sure, in the room. You get your new car and it's just wonderful. Oh, you're polishing it away, it looks fantastic, and then you think, am I going to take this down to Devon Lane or not? Oh, I don't know. It might get muddy, and oh, when I get the car back, it's not going to look quite as good as it did. You know, and you forget that in 10 years' time, this car's going to be rusting away. Is that where my heart was at that moment in time? Was I really trusting in a bright red shiny sports car? Is that where my heart was? What did Jesus say? Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's where the trust should be, because the rust that's in trust doesn't go there. The rust in trust only comes if we trust in the wrong things. That's the lesson I'm trying to get to. On a more positive side, within the word trust, is another little word. You've got two letters. It's the word us. You see, we've already said, T-R-U-S-T, yeah, you with me? We've already said that our trust and building it in what we're doing today is about being together. And so in our word trust is the word us. Because trust involves more than one person. It means we need to be together. It's us together. It's not on our own. Which is why the Lord said this, a few pages on in Matthew. For where two or three are gathered, not on their own, together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Isn't that an amazing thing to put your trust in? That here today, meeting round these emblems of the Lord Jesus Christ said he is with us together. Why? So that we can continue to build our trust in him. So that we can continue to be kingdom walkers. So I'm going to finish in Isaiah. In just wonderful words that the prophet wrote. And it, of course, like all these things, it just sums everything so much better up than I could possibly ever do it. So if you want to come with me, this is what we're putting our trust in. This is what our together means. This is what our relationship means. This is what our understanding means. This is what our salvation means. And this is what our travel out of this room, this coming week, this is what it's all about. So here we go. Isaiah 25. Beautiful. Verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away from the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say this. Surely, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.